Today, we are starting a new series in which I will ask my guest 5 questions in 25 minutes. That means it's intense reflections, active engagement, and hopefully deep insights. My first guest today is Gustavo Kitty from São Paulo, Brazil. He is actually the leader of the online community O Lugar, which is dedicated to meditation. But Gustavo also is a certified Tarkatena teacher, rhythm teacher, and he helps the current Tarkatena trainings group to grow. So with that, welcome, Gustavo.
Welcome to The Power of Rhythm, a podcast with your host, Reinhard Flatischler, around the one thing that connects us all. Rhythm.
Thank you so much, Reinhard, for having me here. I have deep gratitude for all of your work and our relationship. Yeah, I'm here as a student also. So thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Let's right go to the very first question. And that is, what was your first direct experience with rhythm that you can remember?
What comes to my mind now is playing the drums using you know, things from the kitchen, basically. And I was trying to really get to the groove that I was already listening to the music, you know, like rock and stuff like that, when I think I was 10 years old. And I remembering, I thought the hit hat was I played just with the left foot. I didn't know because I didn't see, it was not a time with MTV that I didn't really saw people playing the drums. So I imagined the drums as like, they are doing the hit hat with the feet, not with the hand here. And then I play a lot of things. It was kind of wrong, but it was really a way to mirror that in my body. I think that was the first experience with rhythm. Then I got my drums. And I remember also looking to you that one of my first really deep experience was to be really inside the groove, the flow of rhythm, and really free. I remember during the first workshop I did with you, Tarkatena workshop, that I was looking to your eyes. I was looking to the sky because there was some windows. I remember that really clearly. And we were doing, I think it was 3/2 on with the kashishi. You were like crazy at that time. And I remember really, really letting it fall and really sensing the space around. So that was also something that touched me really deep that I remember until today.
So there was an inner landscape or inner state connected with your first rhythm experiences, right? Like you said,
yes,
a trance, or maybe you describe a little closer. What going back to the very first, you know, maybe I don't know how far back you can remember. What was the feeling from child Gustavo when you came in contact with rhythm?
I felt alive. I felt, I felt connected to something that was beyond. I remember like really imagining another band group playing, you know, recording, and that something that it was reaching me. So I felt really alive and part of the whole thing. I was not really doing philosophy, you know, about that. But I remember the feeling of getting, life has meaning. I think if you would ask me, what is the feeling? It's like, yeah, there is some purpose. I'm here for something. And not, you know, being separated and, you know, depressed. I think it was something that took me because I was just in the school. So it was a limited universe. And through rhythm, I felt that was something, there was something bigger.
Wonderful. So it's finding your purpose through rhythm in a way. Fantastic. So that leads to the second question. What has triggered your attraction to meditation, and eventually also, as I know from you, to Buddhism?
I think it was I had a little bit of an intuition at the beginning. I remember I read Alan Watts' book, The Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. I think I was like 15 or 16 years old. And that was really, that book touched me in a way that I was not who I thought I was. That was the message, the taboo against knowing who you really are. Like, you really are more this reality than what you think or you look in the mirror. Then I suffered a lot, kind of depression, isolation. I spent 2 years not having, you know, sex. I was a virgin and not having relationships, not kissing anyone. I was really closed, really a closed being. I was more skinny, you know, not really alive. I remember back then. And then I felt that I needed some deeper meaning. And then with this suffering and also connected with this intuition, this curiosity, I met, in the same year that I met you, I met my first meditation teacher. He's a Brazilian teacher. And then it was my first contact with meditation and Buddhism. And one thing, just to stay with this first experience that you are bringing me to mind right now, it is the first thing that I remember is his stability. His name is Lama Pema Samten, and Samten in Tibetan means meditation stability. So it was the first time I never saw someone like that, really quiet, really still.
Is he Tibetan or Brazilian?
He's a Brazilian, but his Tibetan name is Samten, which is meditation stability. So it was my first contact. I think it was really more than anything that I could read in a book, was to see him really still. It's like a statue, but it's alive. So it's really astonishing to see someone really still without blinking, you know. So really still. And that I thought, I want that.
And so you met this teacher, and what was your further path? How did you get into a regular practice of meditation or Buddhism?
Usually you go through it, you advance by listening a lot of teachings. So Buddhism is an oral tradition more than something that you read a lot. So I started to listen to teachings and go to small retreats, like 2-3 days retreats. Then I did my first, I was 18 years old. I did my first 10 days retreat. And then I did more 10 days retreat, and then I did a 2 month retreat. It's not big. I have friends that they did 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, but 2 months was something that I could do in my schedule. And then I progressed, listened to teachings, and now also I met different teachers after this first teacher. And then that's the way it went.
Gustavo, what is a retreat for our listeners who don't know what's a retreat? How does it actually practically look like? If I'm in a retreat, what do I do?
So the original meaning of the word retreat in Tibetan is just border. So you just create a border between the place that you are practicing and the world. Is this border is just to reduce the distraction. So you have a simple way of living during the retreat, even if it's just 3 days. You can wake up early, and then it's usually you don't talk a lot. You stay silent. There are different kinds of retreats. One is more silent, you don't talk anything, or others you can talk a little bit, and usually you can listen to teachings and practice, or you can just practice. And if you do silent retreat, just practice, then you wake up and practice about 1.5 hours, then take breakfast, then 3 hours of practice, lunch, then you rest a little bit, 3 hours of practice also. in sessions, in 20-minute sessions, something like that. You break and another session. Then you have also evening practice, about 2 or 3 hours, and then you sleep. So it's really a quiet contemplation, not just sitting and silent, but you can generate compassion. You can investigate and generate wisdom about impermanence and also non-duality and stuff like that.
So the practice means meditation, sitting meditation, or it can mean other things too? Let us know.
It can mean sitting meditation. It can mean mantra. It can mean a recitation. It can mean some contemplation in a way that you read something about, for example, impermanence, and then you reflect on your life or on the phenomena around you. And then also it can mean working with your relationships. For example, you feel really the kindness of others getting into your life. Like you are the gathering of the kindness of others. For example, you taught me a lot, then my family, my friends. So everybody's supporting me. And then you feel really this wish for everybody to be well. Mm. And so you generate love and compassion. So we have three kinds of practice in retreats. Stability practice, like relaxation, stability. Then you have compassion, love and compassion practice, and wisdom practice. So basically these three types of practice you do, and sometimes you use mantra in a wisdom or compassion practice to keep that view of reality.
Are they guided, like someone suggesting, now we're gonna do a reflection on wisdom, or we are sitting and be still? Is it guided?
If there is a lama, roshi, a teacher in the place, in the room, the center, it can be guided. Sometimes even when there is a lama, he doesn't guide. He just sit there, and then it's kind of a guidance because he's there. Okay. You know, as a teacher, you give just your presence. It's the teaching. And sometimes you can also listen to recorded teachings, or if you're doing silent alone retreat, solitary retreat, then it's good to have no guided meditation, just the silent, because then you can really see your mind, you know, all the confusion, you can really see it.
Now, this is the practice of meditation. My third question would be, what are the benefits for you if you're practicing a drum or a percussion instrument?
In a way, both of these paths, they enrich, one enrich the other. Because in my case, I met you in the same year. I was 18 years old. In the same year, I met my first meditation teacher. So it was kind of, I wanted the silence, but I really wanted also the energy, the expression, you know. So in my tradition, in my Buddhist tradition that I follow, we have these two things non-dual. So you have the stillness, but you have, for example, some of my teachers, they are artists also. So you have the expression, like the painting and music and poetry. So it goes in the same, it's kind of the expression of this this presence. So this presence is not still this necessary. I mean, you can have wisdom and compassion in action. So for me as a practitioner, I also have the same quality when I'm I try to practice the same quality when I'm practicing an instrument. So it's about of course there are some moments that I just hit, then nothing happens. But it when it's a good practice, it's similar in a way that I am connected with the stillness and the space, but at the same time I can express it. So it's really nice because when you get into a groove, it's not that you lose the space or lose the stillness. It's kind of a way that you are opening more. You are kind of offering it or making it more visible, more tangible. So for me, the practice of playing the drums is kind of like that. And also in a more mundane way, it's a kind of easy way to relax or easy way to get this relief. I just sometimes just go there and start to play the frame drum or even take the birnbaum. Like seconds after, I'm inside a bubble of worrying and seconds after or minutes after, I'm really feeling the sensual, the sound of the birnbaum. So the sound of my birnbaum takes me out of the worrying. So that's, for me, it's a nice way to do. And if I do it with meditation, then I would need to sit and breathe, or don't even have to sit, just breathe can be also a way to this relief.
Now we have practiced a lot together in the teacher training in Brazil, but currently, as we know, we have a crazy situation on the world. This is unprecedented in a way. And my fourth question to you, having experience in meditation, in compassion, in wisdom, and all of that, what would your advice be to our listeners? How can someone find stability and orientation in the current confusing and wild and dangerous situation of the world?
That's the $1 million question. Everybody has this question. This is really beautiful. In a way, we need, for me, if someone asks me as a friend and I can really suggest something, I would say for this person to forget about the attitude of pushing it away or getting or trying to find an island of security in the midst of this craziness. So I think there is no possibility to find this island isolated from the insecurity. I think the way to do is to open to more and more and more this complexity of life and try to reach this stability in this kind of courage to deal with it. For example, if you say to insecurities and uncertain times, yeah, it's uncertain times, this is security. So security does not come from security. It comes from opening and stopping, pushing it away, pushing the uncertainty away, you know, just open and say, yeah, it's uncertain. Let's live with that. So this is the stability. So then with this stability also, it's enriched by your compassion motivation. So if you try to think of yourself, how can I do to get away from this? Then you never get away from this. But if you say, how can I help others? Then some power comes. It's like a mother or a father. When sometimes the mother is like weak and tired, but then the child says, I want to eat, right? So from the compassion comes, oh, the energy. Oh, yeah, I should do something. So I think we need to get our energy in these moments from the needs of others. How can I be of benefit? What can I do? And you always can help one person, even by just talking. So, for example, I'm doing this with the motivation that someone listens to this and then, yeah, gets some wisdom from it. So then my life gets meaning. So this is the source of stability, energy, meaning also, and wisdom. Because when you look to reality, okay, it's uncertain how it is, and you look, it's impermanent how it is, then you find the basis, which is beyond impermanence, because it changes, because there is something that is alive changing the whole thing. So then you connect with this, and this is not impermanent, and this is secure. So it opens also the wisdom. So for me, the one attitude that I would recommend is not closing, but opening more and more. As one Buddhist teacher said to me, if you are a practitioner, from now on, closing is not an option. closing is not enough. Then I say, yes, closing is not enough. So for me, that's a good, sometimes I cannot do it. Okay. But then I open myself even to this closure and this path. And then you open yourself. You can always open, even when you close.
Well, thank you. I think this is a very hands-on practice for everyone listening here. Very beautiful. Now, last question. If you had all the resources you need, what event would you put together? May it be musical or gathering or what would you do?
I would do first thing that happened in my mind now looking to you, I would do a huge Takitina workshop. You know, because I think that's something that we need right now. It's to be impressed with the people and alive together. We need to be alive together right now. So I think this is the most important protest and subversion and revolution right now, to be happy and alive and open right now. So I think I would do more, if I have a lot of resources, open more cultural and meditation centers around the globe, for example. Because I think through art and through music, we come back to our senses. And especially in Brazil, we are suffering from anesthesia, you know, because we are not feeling. So a lot of suffering comes and we don't feel. So I would promote a lot of events related to Takitina and related to feeling, you know, can be theater, it can be dance, it can be music. And also the inner world, how to go back to the simple feeling of being, you know, because this is the most basic thing that we forgot, the simple feeling of being alive, right? So I would just promote this all over the world and also go work with education and also work with, like you do, training people to do this. Training people to make others alive, you know, to enrich and to wake people up. I would do that if I had unlimited power. Yeah, I would begin now.
Okay, Gustavo, I thank you so much for your time. I thank you so much for your wisdom, actually, very practical things people can get out of this. And also thank you for being the first who is going with me into these five questions. To our listeners, well, if you like that and if you want to suggest people I talk to, please do so. You can go to powerofrhythm.com/podcast and leave a comment or leave whatever you want to suggest there. For now, thank you very much for listening and see you in the next episode. Have a great time and keep on grooving.